Thank you so much for that awesome celebration of joy. We have a joyful occasion to celebrate this week, and so we're going to do that in worship today with Nick's help. Scoot up so you can see all your friends. I feel like Mr. Rogers up here, all of our friends in the neighborhood. This week, on July 10th, was the 10th anniversary of Nick's release from prison. And he wanted to... And that is something to celebrate, and it's a journey, a story to share about what these last 10 years have been like, because you cannot really possibly imagine the joys and the challenges of that. And so this is a chance for Nick to testify, and the choir loves it when we testify. Nick and I are going to carry on a conversation, and we're just going to pretend that you're not here. And just listen in our conversation as Nick shares some of his story. So, Nick, do you remember how it was that you actually happened to come to Trinity the first time?
I do.
Can you tell that story a little bit?
Well, the first thing, you know, I was in a halfway house. They didn't want to release me on my own because of the length of time I was in prison. They said I couldn't make it. So a friend of mine, he was at the halfway house, and he says, "Hey, Nick, you like to come out, you know?" I said, "They ain't going to let me out." He says, "If you go to church, they will." So we ended up coming, both of us. Well, what I didn't know is that he had other plans. He left me here, and he asked me to call the halfway house to tell him that we're here, and that's all we needed to do. So he left right after that, and I stood here, and I was walking in the hallway, and I didn't know what to do. And Pastor Beth was here, and she seen me wandering around right there, and she says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "No, I'm just walking around." And she invited me into her study, so I went, and that was the beginning of everything in my life, you know, coming to this church.
So that friend invited you to church so he could go to church. He couldn't go by himself. He needed someone to go with him, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then you were supposed to cover for him. And so, as our benediction says, you go nowhere by accident.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a long journey that we got started with that.
We had a... And, you know, I just was kind of digging myself into a little ditch again, you know, starting off wrong. You know, I mean, after doing 29 years in prison, you know, you really don't know what to do, you know. And I'd never been in a church, so I was really lost.
That was your first time in a church?
Well, when I was a little boy, I guess, I went to church as a Catholic, you know, I don't know. Maybe I did.
Okay. So when you were released, I mean, it must have felt like a great day of celebration, and yet the real challenges were just beginning. So recall for us some of the initial challenges of being released, reentering society, finding a place to live, a job. Who was there to help you? Who wasn't there to help you?
You know, as I recall, I was really afraid to come out. You know, I mean, I didn't know what to expect. You know, it was just so new to me. And I remember the last time I got out of prison. I got out twice. And the first time I got out of prison, I thought it was going to be a repeat of what happened the first time. That first time I did 16 years. And I went in as a 17-year-old kid. you know, and I had the 20-year sentence, and that was more than I was born, you know. And I thought, wow, I'm probably not going to get out of this place, because I heard so many stories. And I kind of made a vow to myself that, you know, I'm not going to be pushed around. You know, it doesn't matter what I have to do. I'm going to take care of myself. And that's what I did. I got out 16 years later, and none of my family, there was just a few left, and none of them wanted nothing to do with me because they said I was kind of strange, I guess, you know. And so they gave you $100 and a suit of clothes. And I told Pastor John, you know, well, I don't know, you know, what to do. So I went and bought me a gun. And that was, you know, the beginning of going back to prison again, which I did. And I got a second life sentence. And my life was just a mess. I didn't know what to do, you know. I didn't care no more. I thought, well, you know, nobody wanted to be, my family wanted to be around me. They were afraid of me. And I don't know why they were afraid, you know. And I thought, I never hurt none of my family. And the people that I did, the two people I killed were just like me. You know, they were going to kill me too, so.
And so when you're released from prison, you have to find a job, you have to find housing right away, or you go off parole and go back, is that?
Well, you're talking about this time that I got out?
Yeah.
I kept running into roadblocks. You know, I kept hearing counselors. The one counselor that really stood with me through this whole ordeal, she really took an interest in helping me. Because they said I would never make it out here on my own. So they put me into the vocational. And
vocational rehabilitation.
Yes, and I found out two things this time, that they have what they call felony friendly employers, and that wasn't it at all. You know, it wasn't like that at all. When the people that they would send me to had prior knowledge of my background. And when the subject would come up in the interview, they asked me, well, what are you doing out here if you had two life sentences? Well, it's not that they wanted to let me go. They had to let me go. You know, I stood fighting my case for almost 30 years, and it was, you know, kind of hard. I couldn't get a job right away. And then someone from this church, Mike, his name was Mike, and, you know, I don't know, for some reason he liked me, you know, and he gave me a job. And I stood with him. The only one job I ever had, I stood with him until they let me go. And the reason they let me go is because they sold that outfit to a company in Texas. So I was out of job, and that was, you know, very hard. And I wish I could say it was easy, because there's been many times that I almost gave up, and I had Pastor John to look after me, you know, and he did. He looked after me real good, because I didn't know what to do out here. And I still don't sometimes. You know, sometimes I still get, and I would tell church people, I would never go to my neighborhood and say I was scared, because, you know, they say, whoa, whoa, Nick scared? But I was scared. And
since then, for the last 5 years, you have been a caregiver for Dick Britton, a member of our church. And it started out as an opportunity for an inexpensive place to live, and almost immediately became an opportunity for to care for Dick, who needed extra support.
Right.
What has it been like for you, and what's Dick's role in your life?
You know, I've always been a loner. You know, I never was a friendly person, never, you know. And I learned that because I went to prison at a real young age. And these last 5 years, I was really going through some struggles. Do I tell them I was in jail?
You can say whatever you want to say, Nick. Yes.
Well, I went to jail 3 times since I've been out. And each time, it wasn't really my fault. And I know people say, yeah, you know, prison is full of innocent people. And that's kind of true, you know. They're only free in their head, you know. They're just as guilty as I was. But anyway, I didn't have a stable job. I lost it, and I don't know how this came about with Pastor John and Mr. Britton, but he asked me to move in with him, which, you know, I did. I was grateful. We talk about two opposites. Mm-hmm. We're very opposite of each other. You know, he's so cultured. He's refined. He's everything a man should be. And I've always told Pastor John, I wish I could be like the men of God that I see in this church. And I never could quite be like that. You know, there's always something different about me. And I didn't like it. I wanted to be like the men here, like Jerry and a few other men. And I couldn't do it. But Dick, he took an interest in me. And then I started taking care of him. And what changed my life is I've never took care of anyone. You know, I didn't know how to even take care of myself, you know. I got scared one time. And when I first got out, I went to the police station and told them I want to go back to prison. Mm-hmm. And they says, no, you know, you got to commit a crime.
Come back tomorrow after you've committed your crime.
So, anyway, that was really a blessing. You know, I got to take care of him, and to this day, I wouldn't be out here. And I'm sure some of you have heard this before. You know, I wouldn't be here today giving you this little testimony had it not been for this church, Pastor John, and Mr. Dick, and a few other people. I didn't like to ask for help. And the Lord really worked with me in this, you know, because believe me, there was times I wanted to get a gun and do what I always done, you know, and it didn't work out that way. And you know what the funny thing is? There was 2 men in here that I seen one of them, Dan. I don't see him here now. He's a cop. He's a detective from the homicide. I think it was a homicide. And I got to know Dan. And the police didn't want me out here, believe me. When they found out I was out, because they have to notify them that, you know, certain guys are getting out of prison, they want to keep track of them. And I was one of them they wanted to keep track of. And I come to know Mr. I'm troubled. I don't see Dan here.
He's doing security.
Oh, there's Dan.
The back row.
The cop. I never thought I would ever be a friend to a cop. And he probably never thought he would be a friend to me either. But look at us, Dan. One time you said, we're not out here shooting each other. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was with this church and the few men here that I've learned from. I've learned to really understand what it is to be a man. I always thought I was a man. Now, I get down with the best of them, I really thought. You know, I learned how to fight good. I learned how to use a gun. I learned everything. Everything that was bad, I learned. I learned from my uncles. And
so let's talk for a second about what you've had to relearn. Learn new. So in prison, the way you survived is to not feel.
Gee.
And to be strong, never be weak. And then you also protected people who were weak.
I did, almost that.
But to come out, you can't live that way where you have your guard up all the time and you don't feel, because you wanted to reconnect with your sons and you love them and discovered it breaks your heart to love people too. And one of the things you've been talking about lately is about wanting people to really know you and know that a lot of days are a struggle. And so this new way of being where you can practice being yourself, not having a shield up, not having a guard up, and that's something you want to be with us. It's something you're learning.
One of the things that, you know, you learn is you learn to stay by yourself, you know. You don't trust people. I never did. And that was a very lonely life, you know, just always suspicious, you know. And I guess you have to be that way, you know. I lived a real violent life, and I learned that the rules that you have in prison, they don't work out here. They just don't work, you know. And that's one of the hardest lessons I'm learning, is that you can't live your life alone like I have. You know, when I'm alone, my mind wanders, you know, and then I get scared. And believe me, I would never admit that in the neighborhood that I get scared, because I do get scared, and I don't know how to live out here. I still struggle with that, Pastor John. You know that, because I've been alone too long, and, you know, spending over 50 years in prison is a long time. For me, it is. And 10 years don't mean nothing to a lot of people. I know that. But 10 years to me is, I mean, it's a miracle that I'm out here. I know it. I got locked up in 1957. I was only 9 years old, and I've been locked up ever since, except these 10 years. And all I want to do is be a man, you know, a man that God could be proud of, that Pastor John could be proud of. How many times I've always told you, I didn't know how. I got things mixed up in my head. Machismo and what a real man is. Man, I got things all confused in my head. Machismo has nothing to do with being a man. I've seen many men in here that I wished I could be like. But I'm just Nick. I can't be like anybody else. But I know that I could make some choices that I didn't have before. Choices to trust people. I knew church is probably the safest place I could be. And I don't know how many times I told Pastor John that I'm safe here. I don't have to worry about who's going to kill me, or, because believe me, even when I go down to the east side, I get scared sometimes, because I know, and I tell my son now, he just went back to prison, and failed him. And it's not good to show emotion.
In prison. Yeah, but you can't hear. So, Nick, just say one thing about God's place in this last 10 years for you. It's, we all who know you read Scripture constantly, you pray constantly. Tell us something about how God has been part of this journey.
He's become more real to me. When I went back to prison, that's where it really started, Pastor John. Remember when I went back to prison for buying some clothes?
Buying clothes to come and be baptized at Trinity.
I just came to buy some clothes so I could get baptized here. And I go back to prison for that. And something was changing. It's so easy to get used to that prison life. This is hard life out here. This ain't an easy life. And that's why I admire the men here, because they've been doing this all their life. Prison is easy, man. You know, you get everything handed to you, man. You get 3 meals a day. You know, you learn to live, you know. And to me, God has become so real to me. I know what I know. And when I tell my son, I says, Hito, there's only 2 ways you're going to survive in this prison. He did a lot of years too. And I tell him, Hito, you can't live by them rules in prison out here because you're going to go back. And he did.
It's not an easy lesson. It takes time.
But I know this about myself now. I may not know a lot about what you guys know, but I know something about Nick. And I know Nick finally has learned to get honest with himself. Because I don't have to be ashamed to admit that I could feel the human feelings of caring for people. I thought it was a weak thing. And I tell my son, Hito, you need to leave them things behind now, man. You know, you're going to start a new life. And I wanted my son to follow my example now. Before, and that's where he got things mixed up, he wanted to be like his dad. I says, Hito, you got it all backwards. And now I want him to be like his dad today. Because his dad is standing on his 2 feet with God holding me up, with Pastor John and a few other men in here.
Well, thank you. So Nick wanted to share this mile marker, but also just to be able to share what that journey's been like, because on the outside looking in, we have no way of knowing. But he also wanted you to know just some of his inner journey so you could know him, which is a new thing.
I wanted people here to accept me. But I'm not the friendliest person, at least I don't know. You know, I try to be. You know, but man, I'm gonna finish this race, man. You know, the one thing Pastor John told me that make a lot of sense to me. You know, I know I've been a fighter all my life. You know, I'm a good fighter too. But the one thing that Pastor John said make a lot of sense to me, Nick. You got to learn to fight in a different kind of arena. this is the new arena here. You know, because we're fighting a real enemy. My enemy is out to destroy me. He's out to take my life. And I know that God is protecting me. I don't know what's going to happen the next day. You know, I don't mind dying, but I want to try to live a good life. Thank you.
So one of the things we do when we bless someone is we raise a hand toward them or over them. And so I'm going to invite you, if you would like to, just to raise your hand toward Nick as a sign of blessing as we pray for him today. Lord, we're humbled by Nick's story because we hear our own story. We recall that every new beginning you allow is a time of great celebration and then new challenge, because you're asking us to live new ways and unfamiliar ways to become more like you and how you demonstrated the Father's love in this world. We ask you to help Nick continue on this journey, to fill him with your strength, your grace, to assure him in the deepest places of your profound an unrelenting love, that you are not ashamed of him, and you're not ashamed of us. We pray, Lord, for our own new beginnings, the places where we need courage to see and to start again with the power of the Holy Spirit within us, that you would help us to do that as well as we follow you today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.